A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect hospitality, for through it some have unknowingly entertained angels. Be mindful of prisoners as if sharing their imprisonment, and of the ill-treated as of yourselves, for you also are in the body. Let marriage be honored by all, and the marriage bed be kept undefiled. For God will judge the immoral and adulterers. Let your life be free from love of money, but be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never forsake you or abandon you. Thus we may say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, and I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Verbum Domini. The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom should I fear? The Lord is my life's refuge. Of whom should I be afraid? Though an army encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war be waged upon me, even then will I trust. For he will hide me in his abode in the day of trouble. He will conceal me in the shelter of his tent. He will set me high upon a rock. Your presence, O Lord, I seek. Hide not your face from me. Do not in anger repel your servant. You are my helper. Cast me not off.
Dominus vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundo Marcum. King Herod heard about Jesus, for his fame had become widespread, and people were saying, John the Baptist has been raised from the dead. That is why mighty powers are at work in him. Others were saying, he is Elijah. Still others, he is a prophet like any of the prophets. But when Herod learned of it, he said, it is John whom I beheaded. He has been raised up. Herod was the one who had John arrested and bound in prison on account of Herodias, the wife of his brother Philip, whom he had married. John had said to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. Herodias harbored a grudge against him, and wanted to kill him, but was unable to do so. Herod feared John, knowing him to be a righteous and holy man, and kept him in custody. When he heard him speak, he was very much perplexed, yet he liked to listen to him. Herodias had an opportunity one day when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his courtiers, his military officers, and the leading men of Galilee. His own daughter came in and performed a dance that delighted Herod and his guests. The king said to the girl, "Ask of me whatever you wish, and I will grant it to you." He even swore many things to her. "I will grant you whatever you ask of me, even to half of my kingdom." She went out and said to her mother, "What shall I ask for?" Her mother replied, "The head of John the Baptist." The girl hurried back to the king's presence and made her request. "I want you to give me at once on a platter the head of John the Baptist." The king was deeply distressed, but because of his oaths and the guests, he did not wish to break his word to her. So he promptly dispatched an executioner with orders to bring back his head. He went off and beheaded him in prison. He brought in the head on a platter and gave it to the girl. The girl, in turn, gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard about it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. Verbum Domini.
Do not neglect hospitality, for through it some have unknowingly entertained angels. Christian hospitality is being encouraged in our reading today by recalling how some have welcomed heavenly messengers without realizing it. Abraham, we recall, he welcomed three heavenly messengers to his tent and he fed them. Lot attempted to protect two visitors from the people of Sodom. Gideon was encouraged by an angel whom he thought was a man. And Tobias was protected by an angel in his travels without knowing it at the time. Something just to reflect upon, that sometimes, as we know also, not only from these great figures in the Old Testament, but also saints throughout history have had these powerful encounters with angels. One that comes to mind quickly is St. Francis, when he had that encounter with a leper. He overcame his revulsion for leprosy, and he turned back afterwards, and the man had disappeared, right? That we have these encounters, and we know in the next life, we will know exactly how we have interacted with the holy angels in this life. But again, the call is to Christian hospitality, and the motive is always charity, right? That we know that that which we do the least, we do to the Lord, and we wanted to have everything that we do motivated by charity. An exhortation is also given in our reading to avoid immorality both inside and outside of marriage. All are called to chastity, whether married or unmarried. In his introduction to the devout life, St. Francis de Sales recommends the following to help preserve chastity. He said, "Read and ponder holy things, for the word of God is pure, and it will make those pure who study it. Wherefore David likens it to gold and precious stones. Always abide close to Jesus Christ crucified, both spiritually in meditation and actually in Holy Communion." In addition, what's helpful to maintain chastity in our state, according to our states in life, is Eucharistic adoration. That's where we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, right? That we just heard in the reading the other day from Hebrews. He's present among us in the Blessed Sacrament, in devotion to Mary, our Immaculate Queen and Mother. It's also recommended to practice the presence of God throughout the day, and to make frequent and humble use of confession. In addition, making a daily examination of conscience and the frequent use of sacramentals is also very helpful. In addition to the renewed call to chastity, our first reading today also exhorts us to be free from the love of money. Let your life be free from the love of money, but be content with what you have. St. Paul would similarly warn Timothy that the love of money is the root of all evils. And it's through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith. And they've pierced their hearts with many pangs. You can think of our Lord himself, who also taught to beware of all covetousness, for a man's life does not consist in abundance of his possessions. So we're called to be vigilant in regard to having too much attachment to the things of this world, which is very easy to do. We're also reminded today that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And not only is he unchangeable, but his teaching, his doctrine is unchangeable. So we must not let ourselves be led astray by new and strange teachings, which do not conform to the Holy Gospel, which contradict what he taught, what's always been believed by the church. And in our gospel today, we see a good example of what the virtue of fortitude looks like. That's in the life of John the Baptist. First of all, fortitude is that virtue which brings us to confront any difficulty or danger without fear, even death itself. We do this for the service of God and the welfare of our neighbor. It enables one to make sacrifices willingly for the sake of attaining eternal riches in heaven. And the one who possesses the virtue of fortitude does not allow ridicule, threats, or persecution to intimidate him. A person with fortitude patiently endures the afflictions that come. And again, the root of this virtue, just as it was in hospitality, is charity, our love for God, our love for neighbor. That's the motivating force for this virtue of fortitude. And John the Baptist clearly manifested this virtue in today's gospel as he was truly concerned for the soul of Herod. He desired his salvation. So he confronted him with the truth that it was unlawful and sinful before God to have his brother's wife, even when that put John's life in danger to make such a statement. As a result, John was arrested and thrown into prison, and his life was spared for a while. And St. Mark gives us the reason why his life was briefly spared. He said, Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and kept him safe. When he heard him, he was much perplexed, and yet he heard him gladly. Herodias, we know, did not have the same disposition interiorly. She despised John wholeheartedly. And she was probably restless as long as he was still alive. And she viewed him as a threat to her relationship with Herod. And she knew that Herod was influenced by what John was saying. And perhaps she feared that if Herod kept listening to John, that he would change his ways and that he would put her away. As we know, she took advantage of that opportunity to do away with John the Baptist by persuading her daughter to request his execution after she had danced before Herod and his guests. As we know, Herod gave in, even though we were told that the request caused him much distress. And first, it must be said that there is no obligation to keep or fulfill an oath to do something that's sinful. There is no binding force on a sinful oath. And Herod, in this instance, he sinned twice, right? He made, first of all, a rash oath, promising whatever Salome wanted, and second, by keeping it and ordering the killing of an innocent man. So if we think about it, this could have been an occasion for Herod to humble himself and to correct himself. This could have been an example to inspire many others that when we speak rashly, we regret something that we said rashly or on the spot, that we humble ourselves and correct it. He could have said, I just spoke rashly. I cannot fulfill this promise that I just made. But we know that he lacked the fortitude that John the Baptist had. And we know that there will be times when we must speak up and not be silent, and to do it with firmness and charity. John the Baptist suffered imprisonment and martyrdom because he denounced Herod's action, which was a public scandal, taking his brother's wife. John the Baptist showed heroic fortitude, not worrying about the risk of confronting evil and what might happen to him because of it. So we pray for an increase in the virtue of fortitude and courage to speak up and not compromise our faith and morals, but rather to look at the example of John the Baptist. Today we also celebrate the memorial of St. Colette of Corbie. And she was born in France in the year 1381 and would later enter the Third Order of St. Francis before eventually being admitted to the Poor Clares. And the Lord used her as an instrument to bring about great reform in the order, and particularly with regard to their life of simplicity, of poverty, and prayer. And in her spiritual testament, which was written for the benefit of her religious sisters, she encouraged them to have a great love for their vow of poverty and simplicity of life. And she reminded them, and this is helpful for all of us, she reminded them that our cross is heavy when we want to have something more than Christ in our lives. So if we do not see Christ Jesus as enough for us, our cross is going to be heavy. Right? We know that God is sufficient for us. That was one of St. Francis's favorite prayers, Deus meus et omnia, my God and my all. God is sufficient for us. He created us for himself. It's by a spirit of detachment from the things of this world and simplicity of life that we might more easily reach the kingdom of heaven. Again, this is what St. Colette gives us. We might more easily reach the kingdom of heaven by this life of simplicity and detachment. St. Paul would remind us that we brought nothing into the world and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we shall be content. That's exactly what we heard in other words in our first reading today, right from the letter to the Hebrews. Let your life be free from love of money, but be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never forsake you or abandon you. And I find the following observation from St. Teresa of Avila to be very helpful. And she said this from her own experience. She said, it's when I possess the least that I have the fewest worries. And the Lord knows that as far as I can tell, I am more afflicted when there is excess of anything than when there is lack of it. So the more we have, the more our minds are distracted by the things that we have and the things that are in our possession. And when we overindulge in unnecessary things, we lose the desire for prayer, for greater union with God. So we ask for St. Colette's intercession today that we might be renewed in the commitment to simplicity of life, to detachment from the things of this world, in order to leave more room in our hearts for Christ and the things of heaven.